Good news, isn't it? Whenever you hear that phrase in the Gospels, the kingdom of God, think the reign of God. It's about God's presence here amongst us now, not just pie in the sky by and by. And that's what Jesus was announcing at the end of that Gospel passage. I have some things to say about Jesus, or at least how we tend to look at Jesus. I think in some ways we have pasteurized Jesus. You probably know pasteurization is what removes all bacteria, at least theoretically, from raw milk. And we're glad for that, right? It's eliminating E. coli or Salmonella or some other bacteria that can make us really sick. It also, though, removes any good bacteria. Bacteria we might need in our digestive tract for things to work right. It's sanitized, it's civilized, it's safe. Nothing wrong with that when it comes to milk, I suppose. What about Jesus? Certainly in our Western world of the 21st century, we have cleaned up Jesus a lot. We don't really like a messy Jesus. We want a Jesus who has no problem speaking the words we want him to speak and not really messing around too much with the mire and muck of our lives. It's like that hymn, "Softly and Tenderly Jesus is Calling." Right? I love that hymn. But you know what? That's kind of our Jesus these days. Our pasteurized, sanitized, civilized, safe Jesus. He's a sweetie, that Jesus, don't you think? Well, thanks be to God for the Gospel of Mark that we get during this liturgical season. Because even in the late first century, when the other three Gospels, Matthew, Luke, and John, were written, we think Mark was written earlier. Several years later, they write, and they seem to clean Jesus up a little bit. And all you have to do, really, is to compare what the four Gospels have to say about what happens in today's Gospel lesson about Jesus' baptism and temptation. Just after Jesus is baptized in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew writes that suddenly the heavens were opened to him. The Gospel of Luke doesn't have a real description of the baptism, but does say heaven was opened. Mark says, as Jesus comes up out of the waters, he saw the heavens torn apart. And then what happens next with Jesus? Well, Matthew says Jesus was then led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, and then describes the three temptations that Satan gives to Jesus. Luke says Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and follows that by a description again of the three temptations. Led by the Spirit. Isn't that sweet? Can't you just see a nice, cute little dove cooing away, taking Jesus by the hand, speaking to Jesus in some special dove language, right? Saying, come with me, Jesus. It might not be a lot of fun, and you're going to have to give up both wine and chocolate for a little while. But it's going to be okay. Nothing to worry about here. Let's go hang out in the desert for a bit. And then we hear from Matthew and Luke how Satan tempts Jesus and how Jesus responds. The Gospel of John, which we think was the last written gospel, does even less. There's no temptation story at all in the Gospel of John. In fact, we just hear from John the Baptist, who says he saw the Spirit descend on Jesus like a dove and that it remained upon him. Even late in the game, Jesus is getting softened up more. But not by Mark. Not what we heard today. Instead, we heard this: the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness for 40 days, where he was tempted by Satan and hung out with wild beasts and angels. The end. I think we need that. I think from time to time we need Mark's gospel. We need a rugged and raw Jesus because, my friends, as we were reminded again this week, life is rugged and raw, and sometimes horrible. Bad stuff happens. Things change. Life, we learn at an early age, is never fair, and no matter how much we may object, that is the way it is. And for us to be saved and buoyed by all that and supported in all that kind of life, we cannot depend only on a homogenized, pasteurized, softened up Jesus all the time. Sometimes, I think, we need words like torn apart. Did you feel that way on Wednesday? We need words like immediately and drove for us to get a sense of the urgency of Jesus' 3 short years of ministry on earth, the forces that converged to both help him and to try to stop him, and the overwhelming power of the Holy Spirit to drive the Lord Jesus himself immediately into the wilderness. Let's not miss that part of the message for ourselves. The time is short and urgent for Jesus, and it is the same for us. And Jesus is simply tasked to change the world forever. Also note in this version of the passage that Mark does not even imply that Jesus has a choice, a say in the matter. It just says he's driven immediately to a scary place. There are going to be wild beasts out there. Now that word translated drove, as the Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness right after he comes up out of the water of baptism, is ekbalo. And it is the same Greek word used when Jesus forces the money changers out of the temple. Do you remember that story? He's angry and he's turning over their tables and he's even cracking a whip in some of the gospel accounts of that. Jesus is throwing a real hissy fit. He's using some great amount of force, emphasis, to drive them out of the temple. And that's the same word that we have for what the Spirit does with Jesus. That's the power of the image. He has no choice. Get out of the way. Move it or lose it. Let's go. We're going to go hang out with some beasts for a while. Let's go. I wonder if our own baptism can perhaps help us see the Spirit in that way also. I hope it can. For while most of us cannot remember our baptism, I've been doing baptisms for about 15 years, and I don't usually see or hear any reports of the heavens being torn apart or birds flying down or voices booming out, but yet that same Spirit is every bit as present every time we approach that font. And while it's true that the washing of baptism, which cleanses our sins, is a primary action of baptism, it was so for Jesus as well, although he had not sinned, but it is not the only action of baptism. Baptism is a covenant agreement between the baptized candidate and God, in that we have been forgiven and sealed by that Holy Spirit and marked as Jesus' own forever. But that's never to be the end of the story. It is the beginning. The same Spirit that drove Jesus out into the wilderness for 40 days is in you and has been since your baptism. And if you're willing, that same Spirit can drive you as well, maybe to places you don't want to go. Yet just like with Jesus, will equip you to handle whatever may come to the glory of God. Sometimes we have to get urgent in our walk with Jesus. Sometimes we need to be driven, I think, to examine our spiritual lives. Sometimes the heavens need to be torn open for us to hear the message from God. Sometimes that's what we need to listen. What better time than now? Lent is here. And while I doubt any of us are being headed out into the wilderness, I do want to encourage you to allow the Spirit to drive you this Lenten season. Dig deeply into your Bible. Pray a lot, more often than you ever have. Be driven perhaps to some new spiritual discipline. You may want to come on Wednesdays at 5 and walk the Stations of the Cross with us. Maybe you use your prayer book and say morning or evening prayer or compline by yourself or with some companions. Hopefully you have already done so, but it's not too late to join in with hundreds and thousands of Episcopalians all over the country who are taking part in the Good Book Club and reading the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. Be driven. Be driven immediately. Let ekbalo be our rallying cry. Can you feel it? We need it. The world needs us to need it. Our own souls being tugged somewhere. Isn't it time to give up the squeaky clean Jesus, the pasteurized no bacteria for you Jesus? Okay, maybe not give up, but at least embrace another side of our Lord, the one who still sends the Spirit to drive us immediately if we will let him into places we may not have dared to go before. Knowing the Spirit will be with us when we get there. Jesus spends 40 days in the desert, tempted by the devil, hanging out with wild animals, being tended to by angels, And he had no choice. He had no chance to make other plans, to argue the point. He just went because the Spirit drove him. And at the end of that time, did you notice this at the end of the gospel? At the end of those 40 days, then he was ready. He was prepared. His first words upon returning from the wilderness are words we all want to cherish and live by and remember and repeat. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. For it is good news, isn't it? Good news from the not-so-bacteria-free Jesus to your heart of hearts. It'd be great this Lent if all of us were on the lookout for falling doves and ripped open heavens and a Holy Spirit full of power and might and fire and glory and love. Because you too have been baptized. And just like that voice said at Jesus' baptism, God is pleased with you. So this Lent, will you be driven? Amen.